Welcome to Lifehouse Church Online. To know more about our senior pastors, head to the Lifehouse website. We hope you enjoy the service.
Come on, how good was conference? Conference 2022 was incredible. Hey, I need a show of hands if at conference God did something in your life. Like if God spoke to you or God transformed you or God healed. Come on, hands up high. Come on. If God did something in your life at conference, can we just put those hands together and give God some honor? Give God some praise. He's doing great things in our church. Well, I'm excited to preach the word today. Very pumped. And God did something incredible. He's doing something incredible. You know, I've been in this church for 15 years. And honestly, hand on heart, I've never seen God move so much. He's just moving all across this place. Huh? Do we believe that? And I mean, people are just hearing from God. People are starting to take steps of faith. Mate, we've been hungry for God for years and years and years, and God's moved. But there's just something in the air, the water, the ground, the atmosphere. And those that are pressing in, God's doing something. God is doing something significant. Miracles are happening. It is so, so incredible. So I encourage you, keep doing what you're doing. Let's just get into the presence of God and just do something. Watch Him do something incredible. The people that are joining our church, it's quite incredible. So many beautiful people, high caliber people. We've got pastors joining our church and just saying, I want to be a part of what God is doing here. And you know who gets the glory for that? God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory. Come on, give me some more praise. I'm excited to preach, and I hope you know that I love this church. Does anybody else love this church? I love this church. I look around this room, front row, back row, middle row, back section. Make some noise if you're in the back section and you love Lifehouse Church. Don't come late to get those seats. Yeah, I know what's going on. Come on, front row. But I really do love this church, and there's so many incredible people here, so many good people, people that love God, people that love each other. You know what I see? People going the extra mile for each other all week. See so many things on Facebook, people praying for each other, people congratulating each other, people helping each other. It's an incredible church, and you know, I've got a two-year-old, and it actually just warms my heart that we're such a family here. I think she's confused because we just call everyone, hey, this is your auntie and this is your uncle. And she's just like, what? How is 100 people? And just my aunt, because I'm just like, we're just family. We're just family here. And so I'm excited to preach. And I think you guys, thank you so much. Love you guys. Give these guys some love. And otherwise, I'll just go straight to ministry time and we won't really go anywhere. But it's good. I'm excited. Pastor Richard Kubakian preached an incredible word last week. He named it Untied and Untried. I'm renaming it Calling All Donkeys. It just rolls off the tongue better. It sounds cooler, but he spoke an incredible message. And I just think there's something prophetic here because this front row seems like it's pushed back a little bit. So I don't know who's left room, whether it was the presentation team or God, for God to do something here today. Because I don't know what we call this, the altar, the front, the mosh pit, the sound pit, whatever it is. But I am not here to just preach a nice word that sounds good. I really want God to do something in our lives today. And last week, conference, the altar was packed, the front was packed. Last week, when Pastor Richard, he actually said this, I wrote it down. He said, come on, donkeys, I need you on your feet. And if you don't know what that means, don't get offended. Watch last week's sermon. But at that point, the front was full of people just saying, God, I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together, but I want to do something significant for you. I want to do something great for you. It was an incredible message. Some other quotes, he said, don't choose safety over purpose. He pulled this one out, he said, do we have the same urgency as Satan? That one got me. He said, the master has need of you. It was an incredible message, and I feel like God has just woven my message into that. Not really a second part of the series, but just a continuation on from what God's done at conference and what God did last week. So I'm excited to preach straight from the book of Philippians, starting in chapter 3, verse 13. It says this, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But what I do is I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Everybody say press on. to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus, is calling us to. Title of my message. In fact, the spirit, the heart of my message is called Press In So That We Can Press On. Everybody say press in.
Press in.
Everybody say press on.
Press on.
Has anybody got a friend that's got such a nice car? They show you their car and they're just like, bro, have a look at my car. It's so shiny. The rims are incredible rims. I paid extra for the rims. Look at the horsepower that it's got. Look at the turbo engine. Look at this. I'm running out of car stuff. Like, what else? Look at the subwoofer, the flux capacitor. Like, look at my car. He's like, bro, this car is shiny. This car is red. This car is incredible. Let's take it for a spin. No, I can't. There's no fuel. I spent all my money on my subwoofer and the turbo and the color red. There's nothing left to fill it up with. We all know for a car to run, no matter how much it costs, no matter how incredible it is, no matter how quick it can get around a racetrack, it needs something inside of it before it can get moving. We all know that. My daughter, sometimes the biggest challenge is getting food inside of her. She decides it's time to pull off all the books on the bookshelf right at 5:30 every night. We're trying to feed her vegetables, but now it's time to play. That's the biggest challenge, trying to get something into her. But to be honest, for some reason, something always comes out of her. I swear she could not eat for 2 years and stuff would still be coming out. It's a miracle. God's just doing something there. Come on, guys. I think we all know that it's so significant. It's so important. Something's got to be put inside of you before something can come out of you. And I want us to press in today. I want us to press into God's presence tomorrow and the week after, because what God wants us to press onto in this world is so significant. It's so incredible. At the end of it, the scripture says it's a heavenly prize. But it all comes, it starts with pressing in. It's incredible. Some people have such a passion to press into God's presence. And God honors that. And God loves that. And day in, we press in. And we seek God. And we pray and we worship. And that's incredible. But I feel like God is saying, now it's time to press on. I've filled you for a purpose. I've spoken to you in those times of intimacy to change the world. God is loving the fact that you're pressing it, but now he's saying, hey, now it's time to make some big moves and press on with what I'm calling you to do. There are some people in this room that just press on alone. They're busy. They're doing great things for God. They've got a great family. They're doing great things in their career or in their grow group and up here and worship, but they're forgetting one important thing, that you can't press on unless you're first pressed in to Jesus and to his presence. Come on, we need to press him. And we need to press on. If you're new here, I truly believe that the world is full of anxiety because there's so many people running around trying to do things in their own strength. They're busy, they're tired, they're confused because they haven't first pressed into Jesus, the one that created them, the person that brings us peace, the person that brings us joy, and the one that gives us a true purpose on this earth. When you press into God, all of those incredible things come into your life and we're able to press on and do all the things that we've dreamed about doing. My burning passion for life, even today, is to see people where we have an encounter with God. We press into his presence, and that's when he speaks to us, he changes us, he inspires us to do something absolutely significant in this world where people's lives are impacted. So I'm hoping and I'm believing that there's more room here today at the front. Oh, mate, go to the sides, go to the back, go somewhere after I've preached, just as a sign to say, God, I'm pressing in today. God, I want to be transformed. God, I want to be changed because there's something waiting for me. The Message version says it like this, Philippians 3. It says, by no means do I count myself an expert in all this. In other words, I'm just a donkey. I don't have it all together. But I just want God to use me. It says this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to who? To Jesus. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything that God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it. Now that we're back on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course headed toward the same goal. I love it. It talks about doing something, being a part of something, changing the world. But it first starts by saying onward to Jesus. Anything you could ever dream about doing, any dream that God will put in your heart, it comes out first of an intimate encounter with the presence of God. I'm reading a book by Pastor Mark Varagis at the moment. Pastor Mark has preached off this platform, a great friend of Richard, Pastor Richard and Helen, and he says this, great moves of God have been hallmarked by first encountering God and then beginning to take great steps of faith. He says, out of the encounter, God stamps you with the blueprint and gives you the steps you need to take to raise your children, to start that business, to advance in your degree and career, to lay hands on someone in the workplace who needs healing. All of that blueprint comes out of first an encounter in the presence of God. What's he saying? First, you've got to press in. Then you're going to be able to press on. You know, me and Jenna, every morning for the last 3 or 4 months, we've gotten a really good routine of reading our Bible and praying together every morning. You know who we do that with? Emma Wiggle. Because we got a 2-year-old, as I mentioned, and she's up and about, and she wants to read the book we're reading, which is, it's really inspiring. She wants to read the word, that's great, but she can't at this point in time. We've got to read it for her. And so what we do, we give her breakfast, we open up our words, and Emma Wiggle's in the background doing some kind of song or some kind of dance every single morning. When she left the Wiggles, I thought it was done. It was finished. Now she's got a spin-off show, and it's Emma 24/7. There's a new show, it's just Emma. Is anybody, any parents? No? I thought we were going to shift tones and move. No, she's got her own show now where it's just Emma 24/7. But what Jen and I realize is that no matter what's going on, we got to get in our word every single morning. Because we've got dreams. When I have the honor to preach, I don't want to just preach from an empty tank. I don't want to just get up here not having read my word for a month and just wing it and have a crack and just say, God, lead me. And they're not. No. You guys come to church, you get up early, you get the kids ready, you rearrange your whole Sunday to be in the house of God. I want to make sure that I've actually got something good to say. Not so I get the glory, so God gets the glory and that God can do something. It's such an honor, but I understand I've got to press in before I can press on. Jenna runs a business. We've got a family. There are so many things we want to achieve in this. We just want to be good people as well. We understand that, hey, even though there are some distractions, there are some things going on in our morning, trying to get our little girl ready, we've got to press in to God's presence every single day. Lifehouse Conference was incredible. Don't know if I've mentioned that yet. If I haven't, it was great. And a couple of weeks before, we actually had Victoria, all the pastors in Victoria got together for our state conference, which was just 3 days of worship and preaching and connecting and iron sharpens iron and hearing stories about this guy just planted a church and this couple just went and started a campus and this guy's overseas in Iraq doing missionary work and I just came out of state conference. Honestly, I didn't do anything for 3 days. I didn't evangelize to anyone. Honestly, I probably didn't even open up my Bible and read my word because it was such a jam-packed schedule, but man, I'd pressed into God's presence. I just felt so ready to run through spiritual brick walls, just fired up. And then we came into Lifehouse Conference, where it was just more God encounters, moments with God, pressing in. And I tell you what, coming out of that, God spoke to me and he's stirring something in my spirit that actually really scares me. God has just been challenging. I just feel like for a good month or 5 weeks or so, or however long that period was, God was just stirring something into my spirit. And he kept speaking to me about this thing. And honestly, I haven't even spoken to anyone about it. I haven't even spoken to my wife about it, because if it scares me, it might scare her. Of God actually saying, come on, it's time to do something significant. It's time to take a step of faith. It's time to chase that dream. It's time to start something. Pastor Richard's message last week is incredible. You don't have to have it all together to do something significant for God. God uses us while he changes us. God uses us while he transforms us. No one would serve God or do anything significant if we had to have it all together. But God was just stirring something in me because I was in an atmosphere of pressing into God's presence. And now it's my job, being filled with God's presence, to press on and do something significant. John chapter 15, starting in verse 4, it says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, you will produce much fruit. Yeah. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burnt. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything that you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, there's that word again, much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this brings great glory to my Father. Yeah. What's Jesus saying? Hey, if you want to be a great branch that produces beautiful leaves and great fruit in the inside, in who you are. You want peace? Press into God. You want to achieve something great? Press into God. You want to start a business that's a little bit outside your full expertise and skill set? Press into God. Not once, not twice. It says remain. Daily, weekly, every moment you get, press into Jesus. He will sustain you. He will give you the confidence to step out and do what he's asking you to do. So important, an encounter with God. In John chapter 4, there's a woman. It's called the story of the woman at the well. You may have read it. It's been preached on a few times. But she comes to Jesus and she's messed up. She has one encounter with him. One moment with him, she's completely changed, completely transformed. One encounter that she goes back to her hometown, tells everybody else that's messed up. Everybody else that's struggling with pain. Everybody else that's hurting. Everybody else that's lost and confused and needs peace and some clarity. One moment with Jesus. She goes back and tells her whole town about him. And then they're like, all right, we can see that your life has changed, but we want to actually come and see what's going on. Then the town comes, they see Jesus, and their lives change. Press in, then press on. That woman would have had nothing to give the people that she loved. Her family, her workplace, her university, if she first hadn't had an encounter with Jesus, then lives were changed. Her life was changed. The lives around her was changed. Press in, but then she pressed on. Another story in the Bible, there's so many, I just had to fuse a chew. Choose a few. Just cut that from the YouTube, all right? Just, and make me look buff, more buff. Had to choose a few. A guy, Jesus gets out of the boat. He's got, he's demon possessed. He's he's cutting himself with rocks. He's chained. They won't let him in the town or near people. One encounter with Jesus, his mind is completely transformed. The demons leave him. His anxiety goes. The Bible says he was, ended up sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. That's more than just physical clothes. Clothed with dignity, identity, knowing who he was in Jesus and in his sound mind. God can get you to a place where you're in a sound mind, where your mind is sound, it is whole, it is good. It's filled with peace. It's filled with clarity. You have not been destined to live with anxiety and confusion. Pressing into God's presence can get you to a place, a constant place of peace, and where your mind is completely transformed. And this man that Jesus transforms his life, he says, Jesus, let me come with you. I want to follow you. You've got the goods. You've changed my life. But he says, stay where you are and go and help the other people around you. Many, many times, time and time again, people have an encounter with Jesus. Their life is transformed first, but then they go on to do something significant that helps people. So many incredible stories. And when we encounter Jesus, it's almost like they have no other option. I've been in the presence of God. It's just inside of me to go and do something great, to dream again, to speak to someone about the love of Jesus, to pray for someone, to be a better parent, to be a better business owner. It's almost like it's this automatic thing where you've been in the presence of God. It just rises up in you. It's almost like you have to do it because the presence of God is so strong. And you're just hearing God's voice clearer. There's this unction where I've just got to go and do something now because I've sat at the feet of Jesus. I love Mary and I love Martha. Both incredible women. You may know the story. Many of you may know the story where Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus having an encounter. So incredible. Martha's running around, getting the schnitzels ready, getting the potatoes ready, getting the broccolini ready, cleaning, Martha's doing whatever she was doing, which, come on, let's give Martha a little bit of a break. Can we give Martha a break? Is that all right? We love her. And Jesus corrected her and coached her, which was good. But if you rocked up to conference and there was no food, you would have been upset. Amen?
Yeah, yeah, come on.
And it was like, guys, we were sitting at the feet of Jesus. We didn't have time. The guys would have been like, yeah, that's awesome and I love that, but where's the food? We're hungry. But one thing Martha didn't actually understand was that it was time to sit at the feet of Jesus. She hadn't pressed in. It wasn't the time to serve. It wasn't the time to prepare. It wasn't the time to plan and dream. Mary had it right. It was time to sit at the feet of Jesus. It was time to press in. As far as I know, this was the first encounter both these women, I believe, one of the first encounters both these women had time with Jesus. And Mary just knew, hey, I've got to sit at the feet of this guy. I've heard stories. She may have seen things where she just said, I've got to sit at the feet of Jesus. And you know what he would have been talking about? How much God loves her. How much God believes in her. We've read the Gospels, all the things he speaks and declares over people, how much he believes in her. And how much he has destined her to do. And who he's destined her to be. You know what I love about Mary? I reckon she got wind that Jesus only chapters earlier, in fact, the chapter before, just fed 5,000 people from some fish and some bread. I reckon she caught wind of that. So Martha's running around trying to cook the food. I got a feeling Mary was like, Martha, you don't need to cook the food. He cooks the food.
Yeah, come on.
We just need to find a young kid with some lunch. Just take it off. Give it to Jesus. There's so much faith in Mary to just be able to sit at the feet of Jesus because she knew Jesus was in the catering business. She knew what Jesus could do. And so let's take it easy on Martha because, man, we've been put on this earth to serve people and love people. And because Daniel and Chloe so eloquently put it, hospitality is such something that's so close to God's heart, but there's a time to press in and there's a time to press on. Don't press on until you're pressed in. Don't try and press on without first pressing into the presence of God until getting in God's presence. You know, I went and got my hair cut this week from my friend, the Colombian barber. Come here for 2 seconds. Can you come out? He's actually on the monitors today. Make some noise for my Colombian barber. This is actually interrupting the flow of the message, but he's just so good looking. Look at him. If you want to get your hair cut, Altona from home. What's your business name?
Jono Colombian Barber.
Jono the Colombian Barber. Make some noise for him. He's a part of our tech team. And we had a worship night on Thursday night that he missed. He didn't come. He missed out on pressing in. Friday morning, I was there getting my haircut. I said, bro, you missed out. We went after the presence of God. We were praying for each other. We were prophesying over each other. Wayne Ermston was there just praying over everybody and prophesying over everybody. It was incredible. And he said, I'm so sorry, Pastor Dave. I really wanted to be there, but my last client stayed 3 hours after his haircut, and we just talked about Jesus. And he was telling me he's lost, he's hurting, and I was telling him God loves him, and I was just like, I'm so glad you missed the prayer and worship night, bro. That is incredible. Almost felt bad being at this prayer and worship night. He's out here winning lost people and talent, and I'm here soaking up the prayer. Hey, don't get me wrong. Never be ashamed or embarrassed. I'm not saying that about getting into the presence of God. That's so important. It's so incredible. But that's a guy that's in the presence of God, and now God's opening up doors for him to press on and do something significant. When we worship, let's worship. Let's press in to the presence of God. They say communication is 85% body language. How does your body worship God? I love you, Jesus. You're my Savior. You're my King. Just giving God glory, giving God honor. At that point, God speaks to you. God transforms you. God does something incredible. Getting in our Word every day, every second day, making it a spiritual discipline to be in the presence of God. Praying. Praying for people. Praying for yourself. Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, getting into God's presence. presence for yourself, but because God has something so incredible for us to press onto. I love the message version I read. In verse 15 or so, it said, let's keep focused on the goal. It says, those of us who want everything God has for us. Hands up right now if you really want everything God has for you. Come on. I know that's such an easy plug because like it's like awesome. Every hand goes up because come on. It's so obvious, but it's so crucial. Come on, believe what God has for you. He's believing for everything he has for you. Your pastors are believing everything God has for you. I want it in your spirit to believe God has something so significant for you. Revelation 12, Pastor Richard shared this scripture last week. He talked about how Satan is so busy getting to work because he knows he's running out of time. He's so busy distracting people, hurting people, drawing people away from Jesus. It's our job to not counteract that, but to completely rebuke him and push him aside because we're so full of God's presence and to actually be able to do something significant. I really believe that if you're not living on the edge of faith with faith, you're taking up too much room. If you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much room. God is in the business of faith. I'm trying to just get through a chapter in the Gospels without people living by faith and God honoring it. But I just can't. Faith is what's fueling God. What God is stirring in me, I feel like it's running off a cliff. God, I'm not good enough. God, I'm not prepared for it. God, I'm still wrestling with it because I feel like God is just stretching me so much that I just need to get in God's presence to be able to even take the steps forward. I want God to stir something inside of you that almost makes you tremble. That makes you realize I've got to get back in the presence of God. Because if this is what he wants me to press onto, if this is what he wants me to pioneer or to be a part of, I'm going to need the presence of God. I'm going to need God by my side. A good friend of mine, his name is Giannis Antetokounmpo. All the basketball fans understood what I meant. Some people just laughed because it was a funny name. But he's actually a pro basketball player. And the rumor is that his first game of NBA, he couldn't even afford to catch the bus to the game. And so he ran there. This guy had a dream. This guy knew he was going to be significant. This guy knew that. I don't think, maybe he had a faith in God. I actually don't know. That would be good to research before I got up here and preach it. But let's go with he didn't have a faith in God. It's just such a better story. But he had such a dream in his heart that he was going to make the pros, that he was going to make basketball, that an empty bank account didn't even stop him from migrating from Greece to America to make it to the big leagues. Imagine God was calling him to it. Imagine that he pressed into the presence of God. Imagine God had called him to something significant. So much so, every person in this room, that is what God is calling you to. God has something so incredible for you to be a part of, for a dream for you, a dream for you to chase down. It is so, so incredible. Dave and Gail, just they inspire me. Where'd they go? Where'd Dave go? I take it back. They don't inspire me. They inspire me. Most of you would know the story. Dave and Gail picked up and went to Poland. Dave's working for an Australian company over in Poland. They've gone to be a part of our Lifehouse campus. And you know why they've done that? Taken such a big step of faith. Because I've seen them press into God's presence for decades. Decades. God spoke, pack up, go to another country, and serve me. And love people. And lift up the hands of the pastors and leaders. Who does that? Someone who's pressed in to God's presence. Someone who's pressed into God's presence. They both could be up here preaching this message, not a doubt in my mind. I mentioned Wayne and Zelma before, but they're an incredible couple in our church, part of our intercessory and our prayer team. They're both retiring from work. And when you retire, you're meant to slow down. But we're not calling it a retirement, we're calling it the refirement. Because they're going to get busier and they're going to pray more. And they've said we are available 7 days a week, 24/7, just to go and pray for people and do hospital visits and take meals to people and then pray for more people. It's not a retirement, it's a refinement. What sets them apart is that they press into God every single day. every single moment of their life, they're pressing into God's presence. Lily runs our cafe. I know we love Lily. She runs our cafe. She said to me, Dave, I thought it was going to be something that helped the church make money to start more campuses, but I realize I'm just here to win people to Jesus. Took a big step of faith taking that on. Was a teacher, had an easy, quiet, great job. Took a step of faith, reached out and helped us really pioneer this business. And while she's meant to be out there serving tables, she's sitting down with people just talking about Jesus. Like, how can you get angry at that and upset? You can't. It's good. Staff are getting saved that come and work at the 9th Ave. They're in this room today. Press in so you can press on. I'm coming during the week. Just coming to get a latte, 3/4 full. Just balances out the... Anyway. Lily's like, Dave, you got to come and pray. Quick, come. Pray for the staff. What do you mean? I haven't had coffee yet. Come pray. Can't pray. I can't press in. Just give me a sec. Coffee. Come and pray. You got to pray. And we're praying for people. We're praying for staff members. Like, in front of the window where the food is. I'm just like laying hands. Lily's just got so much faith. I don't know where she gets it from. Maybe from God. Maybe from pressing into Him. She inspires me. And so I'm there laying hands. Fire of God. Peace. Loose in Jesus' name. And people are just walking up to the window next to us. Just looking for chicken schnitzel sandwiches. Salmon bagel. Oh, presence of God here. Oh, healing's coming. Oh, come. I'm just like, so now we've started doing it in the office. Hey, come, we'll pray. We'll get, come into the office and we'll pray. And just people pressing in. Yeah, come on. But they haven't stopped there. They're pressing on to what God has for them to do. It's a divine mission. John 15:11 says this, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is the last section of the vine. Remain in me. Let my word remain in you. It finishes by saying, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. And your joy will overflow. Joy is so important. It's so incredible to our human makeup. I want to wake up with joy. I want to wake up with purpose. I want to wake up filled with hope. It comes by remaining in Jesus. It comes by pressing in. And when we press into God and then we bear fruit, bearing fruit looks like helping people, doing something significant, pushing back the enemy so people can hear the love of Jesus. That is when joy will come. Because you just feel alive. You just know God's using you. You just know that God has a plan for you. You've sat at the feet of Jesus. You're filled up with His presence. And now He's using you to do something significant. The joy comes. It's almost with selfish ambition. I want to remain in Jesus. I want to bear fruit. Because at the end, I know I'm going to be filled with joy. But that's godly. And that's the plan of God for your life. To be filled with so much joy, even that's the motivator. I'm so filled with joy, I want to help build a local church where every day and even every week people give their life to Jesus, where people's mindsets are transformed, where healing comes to people's body.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.